Right now, there is an autonomous AI agent operating inside Microsoft Fabric, and it can securely spin up a cloud workspace, write its own RBAC permissions, and mathematically optimize a massive Spark cluster for peak efficiency.
Totally on its own.
Totally on its own. But the senior engineer who designed the architecture for that very AI, well, they just had their resume auto-rejected by some brain-dead HR bot because they typed PostgreSQL instead of MS SQL.
Yeah, it's a completely wild situation.
It really is. So, welcome to the deep dive into the March 30, 2026 edition of the AI Data Daily Newsletter.
Glad to be here.
Whether you are a data engineer prepping your architecture strategy for the week ahead, or, just a curious mind trying to keep pace with the breakneck speed of AI and data systems, this deep dive is for you.
Absolutely.
Our mission today is to really unpack this massive, glaring tension in the modern data landscape.
Right, because the gap between the intelligence of the software we're building and, well, business processes we endure, it's really never been wider.
Oh, for sure. So we are diving into the exact mechanisms behind Microsoft's latest platform abstractions, the fierce engineering debates over real-time pipelines.
That's a fun one.
Oh, yeah. Plus the specific architecture giving AI semantic memory, and of course, the blunt force irony of the tools we still use to hire the engineers making it all happen.
Because on one end, we're achieving autonomous infrastructure management, and on the other, we're relying on like glorified exact match string searches.
Exactly. So let's start at the infrastructure level because the Microsoft Fabric March 2026 update, it fundamentally alters how we interact with the stack.
It really does. The core theme here is just deep abstraction.
Right. So we're looking at one-lake catalog security for third-party engines and custom live pools. But the feature that completely rewrites the day-to-day workflow is resource profiles.
Yeah, resource profiles are huge. I mean, historically, managing a Spark cluster meant spending your Friday night deep in the weeds of configuration file.
Don't remind me.
Right. You were manually tuning spark.executor.memory, adjusting memory fractions, calculating overhead, and, basically praying you didn't hit an out-of-memory error at 2 a.m.
Yeah, it was always a highly specialized, just tedious balancing act. You had to physically map the hardware constraints to the specific quirks of your PySpark or Scala code.
Exactly. But resource profiles, they just eliminate that entire layer of manual friction.
Right.
The platform is essentially moved to a declarative model.
So you just tell it what you want.
Yeah, you simply state the intent of your workload.
Yeah.
Whether it's heavy data shuffling or, memory-intensive machine learning training or just lightweight data transformation.
Okay, and then Fabric does the rest.
Exactly. The Fabric engine takes that declared intent, analyzes the historical telemetry of similar workloads, and it dynamically allocates the optimal compute resources.
Wow.
It calculates the necessary executor cores and memory overhead mathematically with literally zero human intervention.
So we're basically moving from being mechanics obsessively tuning a manual transmission to like simply being the passenger telling the AI chauffeur our destination.
That is a perfect way to put it.
You just get in the car, say, take me to the data warehouse as efficiently as possible, and the engine itself calculates the optimal gear shifts in real time.
Right, and by abstracting away that hyper-specific compute optimization, the platform is fundamentally democratizing data engineering.
Meaning you don't need to be a wizard anymore.
Exactly. You no longer need like 10 years of JVM tuning experience to run a highly efficient, cost-effective data pipeline. The engine handles the mechanical complexity, which frees you up to just focus on the data modeling.
Okay, but I have to say, letting an AI chauffeur drive the car is one thing. Handing it the keys to the entire enterprise garage is another.
Right. You're talking about the Fabric Remote MCP server.
Yes. So MCP, the Model Context Protocol, it now allows AI agents direct cloud-hosted access to the data platform. And I'll be honest, my immediate reaction to this is sheer panic.
I mean, that's fair.
Giving a foundation model the keys to enterprise data sounds like a massive compliance nightmare. I mean, if an agent hallucinates a drop table command on the production cluster.
Yeah, you're finished.
Exactly, we are finished. So,
Okay.
how is Microsoft keeping a leash on this?
Well, the panic is entirely justified, which is why the architecture of this cloud-hosted MCP implementation is so critical.
Okay.
Because in previous iterations, connecting an LLM to a data environment required these brittle local proxies. You had to build custom API bridges.
Which were inherently vulnerable, right?
Right. But Fabric now hosts the MCP server natively within the cloud boundary, The agents do not bypass security. They're actually integrated into it.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, they authenticate directly through Entra ID. They are treated as legitimate, heavily restricted identities that operate strictly within the existing RBAC boundaries of the organization.
Okay, so the agent is physically constrained by the exact same permissions as a human analyst. So if the role-based access control rules say a specific user cannot access HR payroll data, the AI agent authenticated under that user's intent just hits a brick wall.
A verifiable, audit-logged brick wall.
Good.
Every single action the agent takes, every query it generates, every workspace it spins up, every permission it attempts to modify, it is all tracked in the central governance log.
Okay, that makes me feel a little better.
Yeah, and because this native integration guarantees compliance, organizations are finally trusting these agents to act autonomously. They are executing complex item definitions and managing workspace environments entirely on their own.
Wow.
We've officially crossed into the era of AI-native platform management.
That is wild. But, you know, an AI chauffeur requires a fundamentally different kind of engine under the hood to operate at that speed.
Oh, absolutely.
And that brings us down to the infrastructure layer, which is the Fabric Runtime 2.0 preview. Microsoft is calling this the Modern Stack Foundation.
And for good reason.
Yeah, we're looking at Apache Spark 4.0, Azure Linux 3.0, Java 21, Python 3.12, and Delta Lake 4.0. We throw these version numbers around a lot, but the underlying mechanics of this upgrade are actually staggering.
The jump to Python 3.12 alone is transformative for data workloads.
Right, because of the GIL.
Yes, the global interpreter lock. We're talking about the implementation of subinterpreters and massive changes to how the GIL functions. For years, PySpark workloads have been bottlenecked by the GIL because it prevented true parallel execution of Python code within a single process.
Which was always a massive headache.
Forever. But Python 3.12 fundamentally changes how threads are managed, meaning your user-defined functions can process data streams with drastically lower latency and overhead.
And then you combine that with Delta Lake 4.0 and the entire physical layer of the data lake changes. Mm-hmm. Delta Lake 4.0 restructures how concurrent write conflicts are resolved. Instead of two jobs colliding and, you know, just failing when trying to write to the same table, the engine uses advanced liquid clustering and row-level concurrency to merge those transactions seamlessly.
Which is exactly why the underlying operating system matters so much here. Running these upgraded frameworks on Azure Linux 3.0 provides the kernel-level efficiency needed to handle that massive throughput.
Right.
You get faster processing speeds, far better memory management, and ironclad ACD transactions operating at a scale that was physically impossible just a few years ago.
And, okay, that massive increase in throughput feeds directly into a really fierce debate currently tearing apart the Stardate engineering subreddits.
Okay, I saw it this way.
Yeah, with infrastructure this fast, there is a very vocal contingent arguing that real-time event-driven architectures should just completely replace traditional batch processing.
Right, the batch is dead argument.
Exactly. The argument is that batch is a relic. Like, why process data once an hour when your infrastructure can now process it the exact millisecond it's generated? But I have to push back hard on this real-time everything hype.
Okay, let's hear it.
It just feels like we're losing the plot and chasing shiny architecture for the sake of it. Does every single piece of data genuinely need sub-second latency? I mean, if I'm generating a monthly financial summary or running historical trend analysis for a marketing team, what is the actual business ROI of an event-driven stream compared to the proven rock-solid reliability of a nightly batch job?
That is a very fair point.
Yep.
But the advocates for event-driven architectures, they're looking at the demands of modern AI inference.
Okay, sure.
If you're feeding telemetry into a live recommendation engine, or say, processing transactions through a fraud detection model, real-time streaming isn't just a shiny feature. It is a critical business requirement.
Right, like that.
A millisecond delay in fraud detection translates directly to financial loss. And the massive upgrades in Runtime 2.0, specifically how Spark 4.0 handles micro-batching and stateful streaming, make those real-time pipelines highly efficient.
I understand the necessity for fraud detection, absolutely. But yeah. The argument online is about replacing batch entirely as the default standard.
Right.
Setting up Kafka or Flink, managing complex state, dealing with late arriving data, and handling dead letter queues. I mean, that is an operational nightmare.
And you are highlighting the exact friction point of the debate right there. Shifting an entire enterprise architecture to an event-driven model introduces an exponential leap in complexity.
It's massive overhead.
Exactly. Guaranteeing Exactly. Once processing in a distributed streaming environment requires so much engineering overhead. For the vast majority of standard business use cases like the monthly financial reporting you mentioned, traditional batch processing is not only sufficient, it is drastically more cost-effective.
Right.
Batch jobs are easier to debug, they're easier to backfill, and infinitely easier to maintain. The push for real-time is being driven by the voracious appetite of AI models, but treating streaming as a blanket necessity for every workload is an architectural mistake.
Yeah, it's like using a Formula One car to haul groceries. You don't need a high-performance engine just to move boxes.
Exactly.
But okay, let's follow that AI appetite because it leads to an even more complex problem.
Oh, definitely.
We have AI agents autonomously managing platforms via MCP servers. We have event-driven pipelines feeding them data at blistering speeds. But speed and access are utterly useless if the AI fundamentally misinterprets the data.
Right.
So how do these agents actually understand the context of the information they're processing?
They need semantic memory, which is, frankly, the most difficult challenge in enterprise AI today.
Okay.
Most current systems rely on vector databases to retrieve information for large language models. They convert text into embeddings, which are essentially arrays of floating point numbers, and calculate the mathematical distance between them to find similarities.
Right, which works fine for basic search, but fails completely at complex reasoning.
Exactly.
I think about it like this. Vector similarity is like dropping a pin on a physical map and looking for everything within a 5-mile radius. It only understands physical proximity.
That's a good analogy.
Yeah, so if you ask a vector database about a specific user, it will return all the documents where that user's name appears close to your keywords, but it doesn't understand the actual relationships.
No, it doesn't.
Now, Trust Graph, the tool featured in the newsletter today, it functions completely differently. A graph database is like having the actual subway map. It knows that even though two stations might be physically far apart on the surface, they are directly and intrinsically connected by, say, the red line.
And that distinction between proximity and relational logic is the core of Trust Graph's architecture.
Right.
It is a graph-native knowledge infrastructure designed specifically for storing and retrieving structured knowledge. Instead of just finding text that looks mathematically similar, a graph database maps the explicit connections, the edges between different entities or nodes.
Right. So it understands that user A executed transaction B, which triggered alert C.
Exactly.
And Trust Graph utilizes something called portable context cores. Explain the mechanism there, because that sounds like a massive leap past standard retrieval augmented generation, or R.
Oh, it really is. See, standard R simply grabs chunks of text and shoves them into the LLM's prompt window, just sort of hoping the model figures out the context.
Right.
A portable context core acts as a highly structured, self-contained subgraph of knowledge. When the AI agent needs to make a decision, Trust Graph retrieves not just the data point, but the verified metadata and the entire relational web surrounding that data point.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it basically injects a deterministic framework into the model's memory.
So instead of the LLM guessing the relationship based on, like, training weights, the graph database explicitly provides the relationship blueprint.
Precisely. If an autonomous agent in Microsoft Fabric is about to modify a workspace permission based on a real-time event stream, it cannot afford to hallucinate based on a close enough vector match.
Right. That would be disaster.
Exactly. It needs absolute relational certainty. The portable context core provides the semantic boundaries that ground the AI in structured reality. We are literally teaching software how to comprehend nuance and interconnected relationships at a structural level.
The sophistication of this architecture is just staggering.
It's incredible.
We are building AI systems that can independently evaluate intent to optimize compute, securely navigate complex RBAC topologies, and utilize graph-native semantic retrieval to understand the deep relational context of enterprise data,
yeah.
Which makes the final story in today's deep dive painfully, brutally ironic.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Let's look at the human systems tasked with managing the engineers who build this incredibly advanced tech.
The applicant tracking systems, the great unyielding bottleneck of the modern tech industry.
Yes. The newsletter highlighted a massive thread trending on the Aiton Data Engineering subreddit. A hiring manager admitted openly to filtering out data engineers who had 8+ years of hard, proven, scalable infrastructure experience.
It's just wild.
And the reason. Their resumes did not explicitly contain the exact keyword MS SQL.
Despite the candidate possessing nearly a decade of deep foundational experience in equivalent relational database management systems like PostgreSQL or Oracle.
It is maddening. We just spent the last 15 minutes exploring how we are building semantic retrieval and portable context cores to ensure AI software understands deep relational context.
Right.
Yet human HR processes, the gateways to our entire industry, are failing at a level of context, understanding that even a basic vector database could solve.
Oh, easily.
The ATS is functioning on primitive, exact, match string lexical search. It is literally doing a grep command. Does this exact string of characters exist on this PDF?
Yeah.
Meanwhile, the engineer being automatically rejected by that script is the exact person building trust graph to ensure software doesn't make that exact same stupid context-blind mistake.
It perfectly exposes the paradox of our industry. It highlights a massive structural failure in technical recruiting, but more importantly, it shows the stark difference between the underlying physics of data engineering and the superficial business of hiring. As platforms like Microsoft Fabric abstract the stack, the specific syntax of a single tool matters less than ever. A senior engineer who has spent 8 years optimizing query execution plans, managing ACID compliance, and structuring indexing strategies in PostgreSQL already possesses the foundational logic.
Right. Adapting to MS SQL is just learning a slightly different dialect of a language they are already fluent in. The logic of a clustered index doesn't change just because the vendor logo changes.
Exactly. But the gatekeepers are not engineers evaluating logic. The gatekeepers are automated keyword filters configured by recruiters who, respectfully, do not understand the relational context of the architecture they're hiring for.
No, they don't.
They don't know that Delta Lake 4.0 liquid clustering requires the same fundamental understanding of distributed systems as managing a massive Snowflake deployment. No matter how advanced our runtimes get, or no matter how seamlessly AI manages your compute pools, the human toll booth still requires you to play a humiliating game of keyword bingo just to get a phone screen.
It is the ultimate reality check for anyone working in tech. You can spend your weekend mastering the per interpreter GIL in Python 3.12, setting up cloud-hosted MCP servers for autonomous agents, and building graph-native semantic retrieval systems. But if the HR bot doesn't see the exact acronym it was programmed to find, you are invisible.
It's incredibly frustrating.
So to tie this entire deep dive together, we are operating in a landscape defined by extreme friction. At the top of the stack, platforms are rapidly abstracting away the mechanical labor. Microsoft Fabric's resource profiles let the engine optimize itself based purely on your declared intent.
Right.
Cloud-hosted MCP servers securely bind AI agents to Entra ID, allowing them to autonomously manage infrastructure. Down in the engine room, Runtime 2.0 and Delta Lake 4.0 provide the massive throughput fueling the debate over real-time event streaming versus traditional batch processing. Mm. And tools like TrustGraph are abandoning simplistic vector similarity to give AI the deep relational semantic memory it needs to actually understand the enterprise.
The entire trajectory of the technology is focused on context, intent, and relationships. It is moving toward deep comprehension.
Yet, the people architecting that very future are still at the mercy of systems utterly devoid of it. Which leaves me with a final thought for you to ponder as you dive back into your pipelines, clusters, and architectures this week.
Let's hear it.
If tools like the Fabric Remote MCP server are already mature enough to securely manage RBAC permissions, read central audit logs, and configure entire cloud workspaces autonomously, well, how long is it until an AI agent is the one tasked with parsing and scanning your resume?
Given the state of current ATS platforms, handing that responsibility over to an AI agent with a proper context core couldn't happen fast enough.
True. But the real question is, when that autonomous agent finally takes control of the hiring pipeline, will it be utilizing its graph-native semantic memory to understand the true, transferable value of your 8 years of architectural experience?
Right.
Or will it still be hard-coded by a human to just blindly search for the missing MS SQL keyword?
We can only hope the AI proves to be a far better librarian than the rigid human systems we are currently forced to use.
We can only hope. Thank you for joining us on this deep dive into the AI data daily sources. Keep building, keep optimizing, and always keep questioning the systems, both artificial and human, that govern the data world around you. We'll see you next time.